Hi, everybody, and welcome to Mecha Dragon, a podcast about all the geeky and nerdy stuff you love. Brought to you by Captain Geek and the Dark Nerd. I'm your Captain Will.
And I'm your nerd, Jess.
Today, we're talking Avengers Endgame theories. Spoiler alert, if you want to go into this movie knowing nothing about it, you might want to stop here.
Yeah, stop here, unplug your phone, turn off your TV, shut down the internet.
Walk away.
We don't know what happens in Endgame, okay? But we are going to be discussing stuff from the trailers. I know there's people that don't even like to watch the trailers. We're talking about possible leaks that we've, you know, that are on Reddit, and there's stuff from like the Endgame toys that are being released. And we're also going to make some predictions based on everything we know and think is probable. So this is your spoiler alert, just letting everybody know. Now, when we were talking with our guest, Jamie, about Captain Marvel a couple episodes ago, we did end up discussing the first two Endgame trailers a little bit, as well as a few theories about what'll happen in the movie. That part of the conversation did not make it into our Captain Marvel episodes, so we're going to start with that today real quick and then move into a deeper discussion about Endgame theories after that, just me and Jess. So let's get started.
Buckle in.
Yeah, so let's talk about the snap a little bit from Endgame. Now, Now, Jamie, you very recently watched Infinity War for the first time, right? So what did you think of the end of that when the snap happened?
Oh, man, it was one of those moments where, like, it was kind of touching. You know, you've spent so much time with these characters, either whether you're just in the movies or through the movies and comics or whatever, to see some of them just turned to ash. You know, it was really,
yeah,
I have to say Infinity War might be one of my favorite like Avenger ensemble films, especially because I didn't really like Age of Ultron that much. I was kind of bored through most of it, so much so that I rewatched it because I forgot I watched it a first time, so
oh yeah, the robot guy,
yeah. Right, that one. And I liked Infinity War, and they did, again, they clearly, Thanos is the bad guy, but they kind of give you they kind of give you compassion for him. You know, clearly he
was the protagonist of that movie. Right. You know, he really was. The movie mostly follows him. I mean, it was the biggest characters in that movie, I think, were him and Thor. And I really think that I really like that movie, and I really like the end, because I did not expect Marvel/Disney to have the balls to have that kind
of movie. Well, and it was funny, honestly, because I'm watching it, and my husband, who kind of lost interest in the comic movies, it feels very oversaturated with them, and he was like, oh, great, another movie where nobody dies, and I was like, well, this is a little different. I think they handled that really well. They gave Thanos a heart. Like, he struggles, not really struggles, but you can tell he actually genuinely loves Gamora. Was it a hard decision for him? But
He's complex to be, he is evil. Yeah. What he does is evil, obviously. But this is kind of how I've been explaining it. He is complex enough to be a real person.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he might be a serial killer, right? Like, he doesn't really understand
like a mass murderer.
Exactly. He doesn't understand him.
He's complex enough to kill real people.
You might end up in his freezer.
Well, he's not a one-dimensional villain like Ronan from the first Guardians of the Galaxy, or, you know, take your pick of like the early Marvel movie villains. But yeah, I was really pleased with that. And that scene where Peter Parker dies in Tony's arms, basically.
That was the hardest of all. Like, I felt rough, more dude, for that than I did with Wanda and Vision, actually. The Peter Parker, Tony Stark moment was rough. Yeah.
I did not feel the same way with Peter Parker. yeah, I understand. He's everyone's favorite. Spider-Man. Everyone loves Spider-Man. But when they did it, it's like, you know, when snapping first happens, because he was one of the later ones to fade away, like, people are walking in mid-sentence. They're like, and they're gone. And like everyone else is gone with 3 to 4 seconds. And with him, it's like 16 whole seconds. It's like, come on. You're just dragging it out. Just for the heart tug.
You're manipulating me for tears. It worked on me. I have felt the connection between Peter and Tony.
Do young people dissolve slower?
So in other words, you were saying just kill him.
Yeah, just let's get on with it already. I how long that was in that movie was in theaters for like 2 months, right? Because it was just
it was in there for a while. It made a lot of money.
It made so much
money.
And I had it's like the comment I made to you earlier about how Avengers Endgame is going to make more money than most countries on this planet. but when that movie
it's going to be
when that movie was in theaters, it was perfect for me because I at heart am kind of a troll. So every time I found someone who was like, "Oh, I'm just going to see Avengers," I was like, "Oh, cool! Spoiler alert: Iron Man dies." And they'd be like, "What? Why? Why would you say that? You ruined the whole movie for me." And it's like, "Yeah, sorry." And then later I always get the "you bastard."
Yeah. Well, you know, there is that moment where you think he is going to die when Thanos stabs him with his own with his own knife, and I including at like half the people in the theater that I was sitting in, because I went to go see it opening weekend because I love the energy of the crowd, you know. We all gasped when that happened because I was sure that was it for him. But he obviously has an important role left to play. Now, I want to make sure we talk about the trailers for Endgame, the two main ones that have come out so far. And Jamie has just watched them for the first time. So I've already, you know, watched these quite a few times, and I'm sure Jess has too. So what are your initial impressions of the trailers?
I'm actually pretty excited. You know, everything seems pretty desperate. So it's going to be interesting to see. Clearly, because it is. The one thing it made me think of, and I don't know why I forgot this, but and maybe you guys did too, but for me, it should be more front of mind since I watched Infinity War like yesterday. Doctor Strange goes through and he sees all of the 14 million possible outcomes and he's like, there's only one where we win. And he hands over the time stone and Tony Stark's like, what? He was like, this is the end game and moves on. And then he is then dispatched of. So it's going to be interesting to see for me if they do what they do with this, right? If they... If everyone is truly gone, if they're some of these people are going to come back, for me, it would be kind of sad if Black Panther had one movie. That was a really fun one. I was hoping for more.
Let's face it, they're going to make another Black Panther movie. That movie made so much money. So it's clear that a lot of these characters are going to be coming back somehow because they're already marketing the new Spider-Man movie, for example. Right. But I mean, I think it's like how they're going to do this, you know, that's the question. And let's be honest. There are pieces of these trailers where they are lying to us. Because I don't know if you ever saw even one trailer for Infinity War, Jamie, but they changed things from the shots. Like, there were shots of Thanos in the trailer where he only had two stones, but in the movie, in that shot, he had, all of them.
Well, he started the movie with three or four of them.
Yeah, he started with at least two.
Well, he started the movie with one.
Didn't he? I thought he had... Two.
Well, he had the Power Stone in the first scene, and then he got the Space Stone from them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so out of the first scene, he had the two. And they used, like, a couple shots in the Infinity War trailers that were not even in Infinity War.
Like the one scene where they're all running into the final battle.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you see Hulk.
And it shows Hulk, who didn't even show up in Infinity War, you know? So they're definitely lying to us. I'm not quite sure how. But that said, I mean, these trailers pumped me up.
And one thing I heard is everything we just watched, Kevin Feige, the director, doesn't want, like, any of the end, you know, stuff to get out at all. So, like, I heard that all of the stuff we just watched we'll see within the first 20 to 30 minutes of the movie.
So Kevin Feige did say that they would only use maybe the first 15, 20 minutes of the movie in the marketing. He's also the producer, not the director. Just FYI, the Russo brothers are directing.
That's right.
just making that clarification. But, you know, there are some shots that there's no way they're in the first 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know how.
They're like the shot of them in their suits, the white Avengers suits.
That's
no way that's in the first 15
pre-climax.
Minutes.
Pre-climax.
Yeah.
For example, okay. Also, so as we know from the end of Ant-Man, he was stuck in the quantum realm, right? So how's he going to get out? And like, at what point in the movie is he going to actually come back? And the thing is, there's that shot of him, and I think the second trailer, where he's like looking at the telephone pole that has like all the missing posters on it. and the expression on his face, because you know he's going to come out of the quantum realm and he's going to be like, what the hell happened?
And those aren't freshly stapled. They've been there for a while.
Yeah, and I'm predicting that he's going to run straight home and his daughter won't be there. She'll have been dusted. And probably like the only person from his family and friends that's left alive is maybe like Bobby Cannavale, who was
Anthony
Paxton. Or Cannavale, is that how you say it? Oh, I'm so sorry, Bobby, that I mispronounced your name. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's the only one left and he has to tell them that his daughter and his ex-wife were dusted.
I think Anthony will still be there waiting for him.
Anthony, yeah, sure. Mark Anthony.
The aunt.
But there's no, like, that's his biggest motivation is his daughter. And if there's any chance of getting his daughter back, it's the Avengers. So he's going to pack up that van and he's going to head for, because he lives in, like, San Francisco, right?
Yeah,
so he's going to go on a road trip to upstate New York where the Avengers are. And that's when I think he's going to show up at the gate. And, you know, everybody would have thought that he got dusted along with all the other people.
Yeah, because they weren't in on what he was doing.
That's when Captain America...
That's why they're like, is this recent?
Yeah, and that's that moment where Cap stands up.
Yeah.
Right. So, again, they could be lying at any point in these trailers, but I really think that that's a thing that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that, you know, his technology is going to be key. So, but I do want to make sure we talk about how Marvel fits in. Or Captain Marvel fits in to Avengers Endgame, because I love that little tag at the end, that little button where she is standing in front of Thor and they're like staring at each other, and Thor, you know, summons his axe, and she doesn't even flinch, right? Like her hair kind of like flips from the breeze of it, and she kind of like looks down, and then she gives him that little smirk and narrows her eyes, and then he's like, I like this one. And I just thought that was a cool little moment. You know?
Yeah.
And those are the two big heavy hitters right there.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like how do you think Captain Marvel's going to fit in? I mean, obviously, she's going to be very powerful. I mean, I don't think she's going to be the one to, like, strike the killing blow against Thanos just because...
It would be too
there's
expected.
More dramatic weight to other characters doing that.
It's
going to
have to be an ensemble attempt, you know?
Well, she's going to be important, you know, and she's very powerful, and she's going to have an important role to play. But, you know, she's not going to be the one to land the final blow. That, I think, is going to be either Tony or Nebula, in my opinion.
Or maybe Gamora. Who knows?
Well, Gamora's technically dead. So that all depends. She had her chance. That was actually funny in Infinity War when she, like, killed... And then Peter Quill's like, oh, well, that was quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what would you like? What would you, Jamie, like to see from Captain Marvel in the new Avengers movie?
That's interesting. I mean, it, I hadn't actually thought about that until you just posed this question.
You can think about that. You can simmer on that a little bit. What do you think, Jess?
Second trailer like 10 minutes before we started recording, and so actually this time instead of watching, I just listened to it. And just one of the things that stuck out to me was the voiceover is saying, sometimes the best thing we can do is start over. And,
Oh, that was Peggy. Yeah.
Yeah, and Peggy Carter. Like,
the other day when we were talking about the trailer off pod, I brought up, what do you think the significance of the color red is? Because that's very prominent in that trailer. And I was wondering today, it's like, well, I wonder if it has something to do with the Soul Stone, because isn't the Soul Stone the reality stone?
No, the reality stone is red.
I wonder if that's going to be...
But I will tell you the significance of the red in the black and white portions of the beginning of that trailer. That's the color in Marvel's logo. That's the significance of it.
I don't know. That's what you said the other day, but I think with these guys... Because
you've
seen
any
all
greater
of the little Easter eggs and stuff they always put in trailers and the pictures they put up, and all the fanboys freak out about it. And now they're just blatantly throwing red in there. I don't know.
It's just a way to make the black and white footage pop, because they also kind of, you know, they made it black and white to kind of indicate that these are past events. You know, that sort
you're talking
of
to me like you know the secret.
I'm
getting close to breaking it, and you're trying to determine.
Well, I know this secret.
We'll see. We'll see.
Which I don't even think is much of a secret, but
we'll see how it unfolds.
Yeah, but so So, Jamie, have you simmered about what you might like to see from Captain Marvel in the next Avengers?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, when we go into an Infinity War, right, you've got a group of superheroes that don't really talk to each other anymore, and they don't really trust each other anymore, and there's a lot of hurt feelings, and I think you brought it up earlier where maybe she becomes, whether she wants to be or not, sort of a de facto leader, especially if Captain Marvel is like, or Captain America sort of dons her the moniker then of Captain Marvel, of maybe she is, you know, clearly a massive event where half of the population of the universe is wiped out. Kind of makes you forget about old gripes and complaints and grievances against your friends.
Right.
But, you know.
Might be more important. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's still hard when trust is broken to sort of gain trust back, you know, despite things. And she may become sort of a helpful focal point to not necessarily rally the cause, but sort of bring them together.
Point. I hadn't thought about that because really she was not involved in that whole falling out that the Avengers have.
Right. Yeah.
She was not involved in the Sokovia Accords. And frankly, I don't see her necessarily supporting that, the Sokovia Accords.
Yeah.
Especially in light of, you know, the snappening.
I love
the snatcher, whatever you want to call it. And I wouldn't be surprised if she was an easier figure to rally around precisely because she was not involved in this betrayal of trust between, you know, Tony and Steve.
Yeah.
She might be like someone that steps in the middle. You know, if there's still those feelings that come back up and they start butting heads, she might be the mediator.
True. And she would be a good person to like hold them back from each other because it's not like they're going to hurt her. Or
so they sit down, shut up. We got better things to worry about.
Yeah.
And you know, frankly, Marvel has said some things about how they want her to kind of lead the MCU moving forward. And especially if Captain America dies in Avengers Endgame, which a lot of people think is going to happen, including me.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, at the very least, I think it could be a very satisfying way to kind of let the character retire out of the MCU, is for him to kind of redeem himself in a way from that breach of trust between him and Tony by sacrificing himself so that Tony can continue living to finish, you know, whatever he needs to finish for whatever reason that Doctor Strange made Thanos spare his life. Yeah, so that's a really interesting point, Jamie. You know, I hadn't thought about that. And she is a military person, not only from the Air Force, but from Star Force, the Kree Star Force. And everything that she's been doing for the past, you know, 20, 30 years. So I think she is a leader, you know, and she's obviously very tough. So that would be interesting. You know, if we're going to talk just a little bit about Endgame, one of the things that I would really love to see is for Cap, because there's all this speculation that there's going to be time travel involved, or there's going to be like parallel universes all through the quantum realm, because Ant-Man's quantum realm tech is going to definitely be important to the story, I think.
Yeah. And that's one thing. Sorry, real quick. I was just thinking of it as you said it. One thing that I'd really like to see is that whole Ant-Man arc, because he's in the quantum realm where no one can get to. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets out of there, because he obviously does it by himself. Because he's the only one that has the technology to get him out.
I think he's going to go through the time vortex that Janet warned him about before she and the others were dusted when he was like still stuck in there. Now, whether or not they go from there to actually use time travel in the rest of the movie, I don't know. But they're definitely going to be doing stuff with the quantum realm. And so anyway, whether it's quantum realm like multiple realities or some type of time travel, what I would really love to see is for Thor's hammer, Mjolnir, his first hammer, to be restored, and for Cap to actually be worthy enough to pick it up and use it, and like some amazing like final battle between where he's like holding off Thanos so the rest of them can get away or something like that.
Yeah,
that would just be cool, because it kind of feels like that party scene in Age of Ultron where they're all trying to pick up the hammer, where he actually kind of nudges it, right?
And then Vision comes
but
up,
isn't and actually like, able to pick it up. I mean, I feel like that could be a setup for him actually picking it up later, because, like, I'm wondering, like, why wasn't he worthy to pick that up at the time? And A, you know, it might not be the most worthy thing to just try and do it as a party trick.
And with his strength, there's that scene where, you know, Thanos is coming down to punch him with the Infinity.
Well, that's another. You know, that's another matter. That's a different matter. That's totally different, and I'll explain why in a second. But like, I keep coming back to this fact that like at that time, even in that movie, he's like getting information on tracking down Bucky, mm-hmm. the Winter Soldier, right? From doesn't Scarlett Johansson, doesn't Black Widow like hand him a file or something in that movie? And then it's just like a couple lines of dialogue they have about it. So at that time, I think he found out that Bucky was probably the one who killed Tony's parents. And that's like around the time that he started keeping that from him. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, is that the reason he wasn't worthy to pick up the hammer at that time?
Interesting.
So if he does, there is definitely going to be some type of resolution of Tony and Steve's, you know, they're going to have to come together and like find some way to work with each other and forgive each other or something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And so if that's happening and he redeems himself in that way, does that then make him worthy enough to pick up the hammer and give us a really cool scene? Anyways, that's just my rationale for what I would like to see in the movie. I don't know whether that's actually going to happen.
There is another theory out there, which is worthy of its own 2+ hour recording. And I don't know if you know of, there's a whole through line under through line. Some people refer to the Avengers movies in terms of Loki. So Thor is Loki 1. Then there's Loki 2, Loki 3, 4, 5, 6. So every movie, every Avengers movie is a Loki movie. And the under thread of at the end, Loki is actually the good guy who saves them all. Now, there is someone who's much more well-versed in the Loki theory than I am that I would refer you to. But it would be, I think it would be a very fun conversation. It's, but yeah, there's the whole undercurrent of
I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah. When Loki
appears in interesting, the, you know, and Loki is such a compelling, like, anti-hero type character, or at least he's become that.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if there is time travel involved, if he finds a way to, like, not die at the hands of Thanos.
Yeah, and there's one,
you know, and come back and do something.
Is it the first Avengers movie where it seems like he's the bad guy and he's causing all the problems, but he's actually the one who brings them the thing they need, albeit sort of in a devious mode, but like he's really traveling through time and doing this mischief, setting without changing the hand of events, but setting them up for the win.
That's interesting. I would love to see. I'm gonna have to read. Is that like on Reddit or something? Did you see that on Reddit?
Well, actually, I heard it from Rain. You know her, don't you?
Oh,
Alyssa
okay.
does. Yeah.
I'll have to. I'm sure. Yeah, I've always
loved Loki.
Yeah.
As a character in all the movies, he's always fun. And his one more thing. Going back to Jamie's thing about the different relationships all the Avengers have with each other and how they're going to resolve them to band back together, and I haven't heard anyone talk about this on any other podcast or anything, is Bruce and Hulk. You know, is Hulk gonna come back?
Right.
You know, how's that gonna go? Because I hate it if Hulk wasn't in the Endgame.
I know.
So. I think in a way I think he has to, because I know some of the Hulk comics. Said comic book guy that I dated, his favorite comic books were always the Hulk. And I know that, like, the relationship between Banner and Hulk obviously is very intense, and a lot of times Hulk actually runs that relationship. You know, he comes out. Right now, he doesn't want to come out, and there's nothing Banner can do that makes him. And eventually, whether they get into this or not, but the Avengers send Hulk away, and they send him to this far, far planet, and he refuses to let Bruce out.
Right.
And stays for years and years and years, and comes back with a vengeance, hating the Avengers and Earth.
Right.
Yeah, that is interesting, and I really like how they have been paying attention to the relationship between Banner and Hulk in the movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, Thor Ragnarok was a big step because, you know, Hulk was out for like a couple years on Sakaar, right?
Yeah.
And then in Avengers Endgame. Or sorry, Avengers Infinity War, after Thanos basically kicks his butt, which, by the way, I think is more because Thanos is a way more disciplined fighter than Hulk.
Yeah.
Not because he was necessarily always going to be stronger than the Hulk physically, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, then he's like refusing to come out. He's not interested. The way the Russo brothers put it, right, who directed the movie, was Hulk was no longer interested in solving these problems for Banner.
Yeah.
And Hulk is basically a two-year... He's basically he's a toddler.
Son. Yeah.
Like, with his level of development... Like, to me, the moment that says that the best... Yes, thank you. Basically, the moment that says that the most to me is that moment in Thor Ragnarok where, the big Surtur finally comes out and he's, like, destroying Asgard and he's, like, the size of, like, five mountains. And Hulk, like, jumps up there and attacks him and then throws him down. And then Thor is like, Hulk, for once in your life, don't smash. And the moment I'm talking about is when Hulk looks back and, like, gestures to Surtur and he goes, big monster. And he's, like, all sad because he doesn't get to fight him. That's, like, the moment to me that shows that he's really basically like a little kid. You know, he's got the level of toddler, like, level development. Now, there have been a couple pieces of concept art that have leaked from the new Avengers movie showing Hulk in a, like, wearing, like, a shirt. Like, wearing, like, a not a shirt, but, like, I guess, like, a
pants, you know,
like,
suit.
An Avengers bodysuit, right? And his expression on his face is, like, not enraged, and he looks a little bit more like Mark Ruffalo, Banner.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people are thinking, and I think this is probably what they're going to do just based on the kind of evolution that he's been going through, is it's going to be Professor Hulk. It's going to be some kind of fusion of those two guys into the same body where he has Banner's intelligence but Hulk's, you know, strength. So I think that's going to happen somehow in Avengers.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but it's going to happen. So let's just wrap up by, if you have any final thoughts on that you want to spin out about Avengers Endgame, and then we can just end it.
Yeah, like I said, just seeing all the loose ends getting tied up. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be 3 hours long. If it's 3.5 hours long, I'll be fine with that too. This, like we talked about the other day, which would be yesterday. This is like the biggest movie phenomenon that's ever happened. You, like, there's no other movies that have had all these different movies and actors and stuff for so long come together and culminate in one final movie, you know? And it'll be...
Yeah, it's a franchise composed of multiple other franchises.
And it'll just be real interesting not only to see what happens, but to see what happens to the Marvel Cinematic Universe after that. It's like, where do we go from here?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of viewed Captain Marvel as an early reboot, honestly. When I saw it, I was like, this gives them... They haven't ended the MCU yet, but this gives them a chance to start over by launching Captain Marvel when they are, without it feeling like, great, we put that to bed, and here comes a new thing.
Yeah, there's another thing I saw where I didn't read the articles, but it's like characters that are going to be in Endgame that you could never guess. And it's like, uh-oh, does that mean that they're going to introduce new Marvel characters? So this isn't the end of anything.
I think
this
they
is
might.
Just the next, you know.
The beginning of something else.
Well, it's both. I think it's both because they, you know, Marvel has talked about, like Kevin Feige and the Russo brothers and others have talked about how, you know, they're really trying with Endgame to wrap up the storylines of
the original,
like the main Avenger, the OG Avengers from the MCU, right?
Yep.
Because it's no mistake that those are the ones that are still alive.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think they're going to, now I would not be surprised if Thor was in another movie because Ragnarok was so amazing. Right?
Yep.
But I don't see Iron Man getting his own solo movie again. If, you know, he survives, I would imagine he could make a cameo here and there.
Yeah, he becomes more of the Wolverine
sure
of the X-Men.
Be...
just showing
I think
up in
Iron Man will probably end up getting replaced by Pepper Potts plays in the comics. She has her own set of armor. And
no, Pepper's not going to be a huge presence in the MCU moving forward, and that's confirmed. She might have a cameo here.
She has her own suit. And I can't remember the name of the character.
Same with Robert Downey Jr. Like, if his character survives, actually, if he doesn't survive, I wouldn't be surprised if he became like an AI or something. But in any case, I'm sure we won't get another Captain America movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's moving on to the new slate. You know, Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Spider-Man, Captain Marvel. They're making an Eternals movie. They're having other projects that we don't even know about yet. So, and I think that they're also going more cosmic with, like, the next phase of the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of what we have to look forward to. Gosh, I was going to say something else that I totally forget now.
I do hate that, especially when it's recording.
Yeah, but that's fine. I mean, I'm really looking forward to this movie. We're going to go see it on the opening weekend, because I just love the energy of the crowd. You know that moment in Infinity War at the Battle of Wakanda when Thor finally shows up with his new app?
Oh, it's awesome. There. Yeah.
When he showed up, when the Bifrost comes down, literally in the movie theater, everybody they went crazy. They were like, yeah, like cheering, clapping, standing up. It was amazing.
Yeah.
That was such a great, that's the kind of thing that I love when you have an audience
into
that's
it.
Really,
yeah.
You know, energetic and into it.
It's very different from when I go see a matinee for $5 and it's me and like 500 people.
Exactly.
Not the same energy. I'm the only one giggling sometimes. So.
Mm-hmm. We're looking at the 26th of next month is when it drops, so we are 4 weeks away, people.
Nice.
Wow, is it? Oh my god, it's we're recording this on the 24th, and so wow, it is like
in between that month. We still have Shazam and Hellboy. Why can't it be Hellgirl? We'll see those, and I'm sure we'll be talking.
That really
about
need
those
to get rebooted.
Well.
I can. Yeah. I can only envision Ron Perlman in that role.
Why does Hellboy always have to be a boy?
Right? Hell person, thank you.
Yeah,
that's great.
Exactly.
Hell person, yes. Okay. So thank you, Jamie, so much for coming on to this, our little podcast, and chatting with us about Captain Marvel and Avengers and everything else. That was really fun.
Thank you for having me. This has been a good time.
Okay, so the conversation with Jamie is over. So glad that she was able to come on to the show. Now we're moving on to discussing, there's another Endgame TV spot that we're going to discuss, the Mission TV spot. And then we're going to get right into Endgame theories. We're recording this part of the episode on the 14th of April. So we're only a couple weeks out from Endgame at this point.
12 days.
Phew, boy. Really? Is it just 12 days? My God.
I think so. Isn't it the 26th?
Yeah, you're right. Ooh. Yeah. And tonight's also exciting, by the way, because this is the first episode of the final season of Game of Thrones tonight. So.
Oh, boy.
Me and the missus are definitely watching that one tonight.
Yeah, and we'll be getting into that in the future on this podcast, believe you me.
Oh, believe you me. So today, there are a few things that we want to talk about regarding the theory. So first, why don't we talk about that Mission TV spot that came out just, I think it was just last week that they released that. So that's the one where they have Captain America's voiceover talking about everybody having their missions and to watch each other's back and all that. And then Rocket looks up and goes, oh, he's pretty good at this, isn't he? And Ant-Man reacts yeah. So it was only a 30-second TV spot and it didn't really show much, but it did give us, you know, that a little bit of that footage of them in their white Avengers suits that we saw in one of the other trailers, and him giving him the speech before they head out. Now, I'm telling you right now, I do not think that that moment is within the first 15, 20 minutes of the movie.
Oh, no. I think that has to, obviously, we got to figure out what happens with Ant-Man, how he gets out of the Quantum Realm, and then he's got to find the Avengers. And then I think there might be a thing where the Avengers possibly go up against Thanos.
Well, they're definitely going to go up against Thanos first. Because as the movie begins, I mean, that's what they know. Like, they're going to be ready to avenge the Earth and every other planet in the universe. And they're going to try and find Thanos. And I have a feeling that between Nebula and Rocket, they're going to be able to do that.
Yeah, they'll be able to triangulate his position. Yeah. But who knows how much time has passed. And,
well, I think,
you know, there's a lot involving Ant-Man that has to get done before they get in those suits to begin with.
True. So here's the way. So, okay. So once we get towards the end of this, I want to break down what I think is going to be like the first half of the movie or so.
Mm-hmm.
But just getting back to this TV spot real quick, the one thing that we did see in it that I thought was interesting, and it goes by really fast at the end, is they kind of put all their hands together in the center.
All hands on deck.
Yeah, like all hands on deck. And if you notice, Hulk's arm is there. At least it looks like it. I mean, they're all in the white Avenger suits, but you can count the number of arms, and one of them is a large-ish Hulk arm, I believe.
It's kind of hard to mix them up.
Yeah.
His wrist's the same size around as Black Widow's waist.
Yeah, and they have released that scene, which supposedly has got to be real early in the movie, where, you know, Captain Marvel arrives and they're talking about what they're going to do, and Rocket says something like, well, we found, you know, there is a spike of energy just like what happened when he used the stones on Earth, and it's over here on this planet, and Nebula says something like, yeah, that's the garden where he was going to go and retire, and Captain Marvel's like, well, let's go get him. Let's go get the stones from him and beat him up. And somebody goes, just like that, and Captain America goes, yeah, just like that.
Yep,
and then they like get in the Benatar and head off to space. And that's the entire clip, basically, that they showed.
Right.
But so what I'm thinking is, that is real early in the movie. So why don't we talk about the main theories that we have, right, that we've been able to find and that people have. So the thing we know, right, is that the Avengers want to reverse what happened in the snap. Right?
Right.
They want to bring everybody back. They want to fix everything. They want to go and defeat Thanos and get his stones and reverse everything. So how are they going to go about doing that? I think that's what the theories seem to revolve around, right? So either...
Yeah.
The main theories that I found are either that A, they are going to get the Infinity Stones somehow, some way, and use them to reverse everything. Or B, they are going to make their own copies of the Infinity Stones to reverse everything.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that.
Yeah, that one's a little more iffy to me, honestly. But there is an argument to be made for it. So, but under both of those options, there's like a couple different ways they could go about doing that, right? So those would be like sub-theories. So under the theory where they get the Infinity Stones to make a new gauntlet, of their own to reverse everything. Some people are saying, oh, well, they're going to use time travel because, you know, Janet mentioned it in the mid-credit scene for Ant-Man and the Wasp, like, don't fall into a time vortex. So that would seem to indicate that time travel is possible through the quantum realm, right? So they could do it that way. And there's this idea that they're going to go back to moments from the older movies to capture the Infinity Stones before Thanos could get a hold of them. And as this theory goes, I believe, is that, you know, Thanos could sense their meddling when either the stones start disappearing off of his gauntlet, or, you know, maybe he learns about it through the Time Stone, will give him a heads up. And then he, you know, tries to intervene and stop them. And so there could be a battle with him at the, near the beginning-ish of the movie when they're starting to do this.
I wonder if they do it in such a manner that they have like a plan of attack. Like, in order to start this, we need to get this particular stone first, which will let us do this, which will help us get the next stone we need. Using those stones, we can get this stone. You know, like it's a play possible. By play, they need to get them in order.
It's possible.
That'd be interesting.
If they were going to do that, I would speculate that they would go for the space stone first, because A, more Avengers know about the Space Stone and where and when it was at different times than any of the other stones, really. Because that one's been on Earth for a long time. And also, once you have the Space Stone, it's like, then you can go, and then it becomes much easier to travel, right?
Yeah. It's like, if they get the Space Stone first, how does, you know, Thanos go anywhere? He'll basically be stuck there until, unless he has his own ship, I suppose. Right.
Okay, so... let's talk for a second about this other trailer, which was called The Special Look. It's about a minute long. And you know what? This one, I think, was released on April 2nd, the day that the tickets went on sale, the pre-sale tickets.
Okay.
As you can see in that one, they're definitely facing off with Thanos.
And, it looks like they went back to Titan.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, this fight takes place in the first half of the movie.
Yeah.
And
I think that would have to be pre-Ant-Man.
And what I think is that they're going to fight Thanos, and he's either still going to win, or they're going to get the gauntlet from him, and it's not going to matter. Like, they either won't be able to use it, or maybe the stones are drained from what he did, you know, or the gauntlet is, like, so broken that it can't work anymore. Something like that.
Right, because it did get fried. It got zapped out after the snap.
Yeah.
Bunning.
Yeah, so... basically, that they're going to have a first attempt that is going to fail. They might even have two attempts that fail, I think. Right? So it's not going to work for whatever reason. And then that's when there's going to be the time jump in the movie. Right? Because it's going to pick up pretty shortly after. Actually, I think that there was something, what was it, that they showed that confirmed it was going to start 22 days after the snap.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember what that was. Maybe it was at CinemaCon where they talked about it and showed a clip. But in any case, it's going to start like 20.
Okay, so 22 days after the snap.
Like a couple weeks, you know, a few weeks after the snap.
So obviously, they're going to have to regroup and do all their stuff. And
yeah, well, in that scene from the like early part of the movie where they meet up with Captain Marvel, you know, and this was the mid-credit scene for Captain Marvel, by the way, where they're looking at the pager and it stops working and they're like, get it working. And then Captain Marvel shows up and says, where's Fury? Well, Captain America still has his beard in that scene. So, and they're still monitoring like how many people are missing and stuff. So that's around where it's going to pick up. And Captain Marvel's
I like how a lot of the theories and all of the ideas people have going into this movie, there is such emphasis placed on hairstyles, haircuts, facial hair, you know. It's like there's Hairgate with Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow, you know.
Oh, that's every little
there's
detail.
So many different scenes, she's got a different hairstyle, and it's like, okay, does this mean there's a time jump? We're going back in time to when her hair was long and red, or is that much time passed where it's grown out again? And you know, there's so many different things going on.
Well, this is, you know, this is just the fans looking and picking apart every tiny little detail to try and figure out what's going to happen in the movie, which is, I guess, sort of what we're doing. But, you know, because the fact that her hair grows so much and it's like red again does seem to indicate that there's going to be a big time jump. In fact, that's probably one of the biggest things from the trailers that people have latched onto to prove there will be this time jump. But so what I think is going to happen is they're going to try against Thanos once or twice and they're going to fail. And then there will be the time jump. And then it's after that that Ant-Man shows up. He's going to come out. And like you were saying in the conversation with Jamie, when he's looking at those, you know, missing posters, those weren't just like nailed on.
Yeah, they're not freshly stapled. They've been up and been through a couple storms and some weather. And, you know, they've been there a while. So who knows how long.
So once he shows up and realizes that his family's been dusted, that's when he's going to drive to New York to the Avengers headquarters and show up, and that's going to give everybody new hope, right? Because supposedly he was tested.
Yeah, and I can't remember, too, how time works in the quantum realm, you know, because
it apparently doesn't.
Yeah, because you would think he would come back right after, you know, whenever he gets out of the quantum realm, however he manages to do that.
Well,
that's
we don't know how he's going to,
in the beginning of the
movie. You know, Janet said, you know, watch out, because if you get sucked into a time vortex, we can't save you. So the running idea is that he does find his way out through a time vortex, but he ends up, you know, coming back later than
he'll find his way out, and then, like you mentioned, he might have lost his family and realize the only way to get them back, at least his daughter. And hopefully not Anthony. Hopefully Anthony survived the snapping. The only way he's going to get her back is to go get the help of the Avengers.
Yeah.
And they'll have thought he got dusted. And then he's going to be like, oh, look at all this Pymtech I've got. Sweet, sweet Pymtech. And then they'll learn about all of that, you know, technology. And that's when they get their new suits and go into the quantum realm. And possibly find a
time warp. So, but this is where the theories kind of diverge, right? Because I really do think that's the way it's going to work with Ant-Man. But are they going to go back in time, or are they going to go to alternate universes, right? So we already talked a little bit about going back in time, because there was this leaked set photo where it showed Tony, and he is like back at the Battle of New York from the first Avengers movies, but yet he has the graying of his hair that he didn't have at that time. And he's also dressed in like one of these, it's like one of the uniforms that the SHIELD got, like the SHIELD soldiers were dressed in at the time.
Right.
And so some people are wondering, because of that photo specifically and a couple other ones that show like Thor with his old like blonde long hair and stuff like that, whether they're going back in time or whether they're just using Tony's barf technology, to look into memories for some reason, right? Like maybe maybe they're looking back into memories to
maybe they missed something.
Like learn more information. Yeah, whether it's about the Infinity Stones themselves or using that technology to like pinpoint the exact moment they need to go back in time to like get one of the stones or something like that. So you can see there's a lot of
Remember in Civil War, he had that little thing on his wrist. That was when he started using the
nanotech.
What's the technology? Yeah, the nanotech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's another kind of ties in with that picture you were talking about. There's more set pictures that show a lot of the other characters with something similar to that.
Something strapped to their hand. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if they have their own nanotech suits.
Well, there's a few things that that could be, right? So this little thing that's strapped to their hand, and bear in mind that they can put VFX, like CGI, over that to make it look like whatever they want to, right?
Right.
So it might, so here's just some ideas that I've seen online, right? Like it could be a thing for each of the Avengers to hold one of the Infinity Stones, right? In a safe way.
So they could Voltron? They could become Voltron? Finally, right? We get Voltron.
Voltron Avengers. That's,
that'd be great.
That's actually what the title is going to be, Avengers Voltron. No. Other people have said that it's related to their quantum travel, right? So it could be some kind of device related to that. Now, I actually think it might be, now that we've seen those white Avenger suits, I have a feeling that Tony creates those using the nanotech technology that he has. So maybe those suits like suck back into the like a wrist unit.
Right.
You know what I mean? When they're not.
Well, if you look at the suits, they're, I just call it Pymtech. We got Stark Tech and Pymtech. Because they look a lot like Ant-Man's original suit.
Well, they
They're the same style, and those are the same color scheme that Pym uses on his, when they show his,
on
like,
his quantum
laboratory
room suit that he makes in Ant-Man and the Wasp. Yeah, exactly. I think that's pretty clear, right? That's definitely clear. But so, okay, if there, so here's the first main theory that we've kind of been getting in and out of is like getting the Infinity Stones for a new gauntlet to reverse everything. So
right,
whether they're, so if they're doing time travel, then that means they're pulling them out from the past, right? So that means they would find the perfect time to grab each of them. So like the Tesseract, you know, they could grab maybe right after Thor takes it back to Asgard or something.
Yeah.
The Power Stone, they could grab, you know, maybe right before the Guardians handed over to the Nova Corps, right?
Yeah, it would have to be basically at the end of every movie that we've seen involving the stones. Because otherwise it'll rewrite the timeline.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking of moments when they could do it without rewriting the timeline, but what if they have to take them in a way that does change the timeline, or maybe they try to take it so it doesn't change anything, but it really does. Now,
what if the only way it works is that they have to take these stones, which changes the events, which means basically the last 22 movies never happened and they get snapped out of existence themselves.
See, that's why I think that's not going to happen, because there's no way that Marvel is going to do something that renders all of their previous movies irrelevant.
That would be epic, though. They just do that and then say, ha ha, and they shut the doors and Marvel shuts down and no more movies ever. They're like, gotcha.
Yeah. The other thing about time travel is like, it's a little bit overused. I mean, I love time travel shows and movies, but it's a little bit overused. And seriously, if you think about it, you can fix any story problem with time travel.
Right.
In theory, at least. So, however, something a lot of people seem to be forgetting about Avengers Endgame when they're making all these theories is the original synopsis that was released for the movie way back, I don't know how many months ago, but it mentioned something like, it was very vague, as you can imagine, but it did say something like, the Avengers are going to learn how fragile our reality really is, and that makes me think, well, either they're going to do the time travel stuff, and there's going to be massive butterfly effects, right?
Right.
And that's not really going to work out so well. Or in the process of using the quantum realm to like do parallel universe stuff, it's going to weaken reality and there's going to be side effects that may well reverberate into the future of the MCU, but allows them to accomplish their mission. So
Right.
Anyways, one of those. I'm not sold on the time travel thing. I'm really not sold on it because it would have to change so many things in the past that would make it so that a lot of stuff from the past movies didn't even happen.
Right.
So I'm kind of dubious about it. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to do time travel. Okay, so let me put down my argument for, and this is not my favorite theory or anything, but this is the argument for them making copies of the Infinity Stones. And by the way, they might be making copies of the Infinity Stones not to undo the snap, because I find it very unlikely that they could accomplish that with copies, but maybe just to face Thanos, right? And get the actual stones away from him. So here we go. So I don't know if you remember, but Tony developed the arc reactor, and specifically that new element that he developed from his father's notes in Iron Man 2. Because remember, he was getting poisoned by the palladium.
Was that the Starkatronium, or was that the Unobtainium? What terrible name did they give it?
They didn't give it a name, as far as... I don't think they gave it a name. They just called it a new element. So you remember in Iron Man 2 when he's like, he gets his father's like notes in those films from Nick Fury, and he's studying them because Fury's like, well, you know, there's a way for you to solve this problem of you getting poisoned. And when he's looking through his father's notes, there's like diagrams of the Tesseract in there.
Right.
So what I'm saying is Stark's current arc reactor technology is based on the Space Stone.
Hmm.
So maybe with a little modification, his arc reactor could become like a, or you know, a like a different version of it.
It could become the new Tesseract.
Could become like a Space Stone light, perhaps.
Right.
Now Shuri was scanning
Space Stone Zero.
Yeah, Space Stone Zero. Now Shuri was scanning the crap out of the Mind Stone when they were trying to save Vision in Infinity War.
Right.
So it's possible that she gathered enough data from that. And maybe she even downloaded Vision's mind or his knowledge or something, because he was studying it. So maybe with the, you know, with that information, they could make a copy of the Mind Stone. Wong and, you know, his wizard folk have been guarding the Time Stone forever. So they might have some info and know how to work that out. But also I need to talk about Doctor Strange in a little bit. I feel like, as far as the Power Stone goes, Rocket had to have scanned it when they had a hold of it, like for the brief period of time at the end of the first Guardians movie,
right?
Between then and when they gave it away. The Reality Stone, I don't know. I mean, they would either have to like travel back in time to scan it, or study scans of it from when Thanos was using it, or like, did the Collector study it, or did he just want to have it in a pretty box?
Right.
And, you know, same with the Soul Stone. I don't know. But I think there is, you know, an argument to be made that they could potentially do something like that. And according to one of the toy leaks,
There's a Funko Pop one as well.
There's lots of toys. But the one I'm thinking of is there's like a Lego set of the Avengers compound. And on like a little computer screen inside the Avengers compound in that toy, there's like a diagram of the Infinity Gauntlet. And so a lot of people are taking that as proof that Stark is going to be developing his own Infinity Gauntlet, which I think is probably true. So
there's also a Funko Pop toy of Tony Stark in his quantum suit. And what he's wearing on his hand appears to be, and I saw somewhere, I should have made a note of it, there was a Infinity Gauntlet that looked like it was created using Stark's technology.
Yeah, there's a kid's toy, like a kid-sized like glove. And it's got all the stones in it. And it doesn't look like Thanos' gauntlet very much.
No, it's definitely looks like more of Stark tech. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if they're going to gather their stones to use against Thanos, I mean, does the Infinity Gauntlet not change sizes or something?
It probably could. I don't know. But here's the thing, it's ruined. You saw how fried it was at the end of Infinity War.
Oh yeah.
And that, you know, some people are saying that also it didn't just fry the metal of the gauntlet itself, but it drained the power of the Infinity Stones, which will be why the Avengers won't be able to use them right away to fix everything. Or maybe they just aren't powerful enough to use it in that way, or
right.
maybe it needs a
They need to get them when they're fully charged.
Yeah. So a lot of things there. So I think we've kind of covered the basic theories that there are. So either there's time travel or there's parallel universes. But definitely the quantum realm is going to be involved heavily.
And they won't be, apparently, I guess, using it to send Ant-Man up inside Thanos's or rectum. Thanos.
Yeah, the Thanos theory. Yeah, I don't think that's...
That got shut down, apparently.
That got that's shut
not
down,
gonna, not
yeah.
going to see that. But it, so, maybe in the future.
So why don't we move into predictions really quick? Or should we do things we want to see happen before predictions? Why don't we do things we want to see happen?
Yeah.
So why don't you begin? What things do you really want to see in this movie?
I like the Ant-Man storyline. I like the whole quantum realm thing. I'm interested in seeing how he gets out of there. And, you know, how he gets out, gets back to Earth and meets the Avengers and all that. That's a cool arc I want to see. I also want to see how Tony gets rescued.
Oh, see, you know, I'm going to make you a bet right now. Okay, on that point.
Okay.
Tony and Nebula will save themselves.
Okay.
It seems to be, to me, to be very clear, that they're making it a parallel situation to when he was in that cave in the first Iron Man movie. And even if you look in what we've seen so far in the trailers, he's wearing the exact same black undershirt that he was wearing in that part of the first Iron Man movie, you know, with his arc reactor showing through the center of his chest. I'm telling you, he and Nebula are going to save themselves.
Easter egg there.
Yeah, I mean, what's the point of having somebody rescue Tony, honestly? Like, if he can't save himself, then what's the point of him?
Right.
If he can't tinker his way out of it. Anyways, that's just my prediction, so please continue with the things that you would like to see.
Also, like you said, that one TV spot, A New Look, had Hulk putting his hand, all hands on deck, in with the rest of the Avengers, and it'll be interesting to see that storyline, you know.
So you're saying you want to see how certain things happen. I'm wondering if there's any specific things you want to see happen.
There's just so many theories and stuff out there. We could be totally wrong on everything.
Oh, of course.
You know,
yeah.
That's the thing, the prediction.
And we probably are.
Yeah, probably are.
And we probably are.
If this could be easily guessed, they wouldn't have gone through all the hassle of it.
I'll tell you right now, here's a few things that I want to see. I mean, I really want to see Tony and Cap make up, and it's, you know, seems pretty sure that that's going to happen in some way. And I guess that's a kind of I want to see how that happens. But I definitely
And like we covered with Jamie too, the introduction of Captain Marvel, like I said, she could be the one, cuz Jamie brought up that great point about the rift in the Avengers. And how maybe Captain Marvel can be the one to help bring them together or mediate them or do something. But yeah, they definitely need to kiss and make up.
Yeah, you know what? About that. Okay, so it's now time for me to get into my thing about Doctor Strange. And this is kind of a prediction and kind of a theory. All right, so before Infinity War came out, multiple people involved, the Russo brothers, the directors, a couple of the actors, including Benedict Cumberbatch, Doctor Strange himself, were saying that Doctor Strange is going to be a big part of getting Cap and Tony to make nice again. Hmm. He's going to help them reconcile. Now, that could have been a dirty lie.
Right.
However, we know Doctor Strange is going to be in this movie. Yeah. I think, okay, when they were on Titan, remember he was like floating in the air with the green time stone light? And then he comes down and tells him what he was doing. Well, he says he went forward in time to view alternate futures of the coming conflict. Right. Notice that he said he went forward in time, not he looked forward in time. So I'm thinking it's possible that at some point in Avengers Endgame, Doctor Strange shows up and it's Doctor Strange of the past during the moment when he was viewing over 14 million futures.
Right.
Right. And so that's actually the first stone that they get is the Time Stone because Doctor Strange is there physically.
Yeah, it was kind of like with his fight with Dormammu in Doctor Strange.
Well, that was a time loop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a time loop, but it just kept going over and over and over. And he experienced you know, how many different times did that happen? It was probably years of nothing but those battles passed. So
I think it was like hundreds of years.
Yeah. But yeah, so he was just like stuck in that time loop on Titan, kind of. His body was there physically, but he was, you know, forward in time.
Yeah, but I mean, this would be a little bit different in that it's not a time loop. He's literally projecting himself forward in time, which is why he could be there after he's been dusted, because technically he would have to go back to his time after they finish whatever they're doing in the future to be dusted so that he could be... Anyways, I think that that's possible because of the fact that like a lot of people were saying that he's going to have a lot to do with helping them make up, and there was also leaked the fact that he was filming some scene with like a gigantic CGI character.
I saw one of the theories, you know, they have the top 30 most popular theories on what's going to happen in Endgame. One of them was mentioned that maybe Dormammu, now that Doctor Strange has been snapped and dusted, Dormammu doesn't have to obey the rules that Doctor Strange put in place.
No.
And that would be stupid. I don't want to see it, but it's just one of those theories out
there. It's a theory that's not going to happen.
No, because I don't want
they to. Don't have time in the Avengers movie to have a side plot with Dormammu. Don't have time for it, even in a 3-hour movie. So I definitely want to see Tony and Nebula have some banter because they're stuck on that ship for a while and trying to save themselves.
Become besties.
Karen Gillan was talking about in an interview months ago that she has a new bestie in Endgame, and she couldn't talk about it or anything or say who it was, but it seems pretty clear to me that it's probably Tony, and that she said it was just a brilliant pairing. So I want to see that. I mean, maybe she was talking about Rocket. You know, maybe she and Rocket work together later. But I tend to think it's probably Tony. But the girls
do love fuzzy little dogs,
right? And rabbits and raccoons. But one of the big things that I would really, really love to see, and I don't know that this is going to happen, I would just really love to see it, is I want to see, like, especially if they're doing parallel universe or time travel shenanigans, if Thor's first hammer, Mjolnir, is restored in the timeline somehow, and Captain America picks it up and is worthy to use it and whoops some butt with it. I want to see Cap pick up the hammer and be shown to be worthy and to just go to town, you know, and maybe that's even where he sacrifices himself. But I would really love to see that. Now,
couldn't he also... what's the name of Thor's new axe?
Stormbreaker.
Stormbreaker? Is that the same as Mjolnir, where only he can wield it?
Well, I don't think it has the enchantment on it where anybody that's worthy can wield it and have the power of Thor, because that was something that we saw Odin specifically put onto Mjolnir in that first Thor movie.
He imbued it.
And I think that with his Stormbreaker, it's more like people couldn't wield it simply because it's so powerful that, you know, what did he say in Infinity War? Your body would rot away while your mind falls into madness or something like that.
And right. Mark
goes,
yeah.
Is it weird that I want to do it more now? but I just think that it would just be impossible for anybody else to wield it because of the fact that they're not gods, basically, as opposed to being worthy or not.
Okay.
That's my take on it. So I think it's time to get into our predictions before we finish up our little talk. So do you have?
One thing before I jump into prediction, I don't really have too much in the prediction realm, but there's two characters we haven't mentioned that are two more things I really want to find out what happens with them. The snapping, obviously, everyone got dusted, but there were two people in Infinity War that were killed before the snap happened. Those would be Loki and Gamora.
Also Vision.
And Vision, but he's just been a puss since Infinity War started. I don't like him anymore. He used to be awesome. He was the one that could pick up Thor's hammer, and he was, you know, that powerful and worthy.
Well, it wasn't powerful he was that allowed him to pick up the hammer. It was the fact that he was worthy.
Well, he was also powerful. He was like the strongest Avenger for a while.
Powerful.
He was, and then, you know, he got stabbed. He's like a robot. He got stabbed. And he's all boo-hoo. Wow, I'm going to die. Glad well, he that, did. Glad he did.
Corvus Glaive's weapon is a hardcore weapon in Marvel history, though, so that's not really that surprising. Yeah. But please continue. Yeah,
whatever. Loki. I don't think he died. I don't. It's Loki. He's also a god. He's very powerful, and he's the god of mischief. You know.
I wouldn't be surprised if time travel shenanigans allowed him to not die.
And he's done that thing in the past where he's been able to make multiple, you know, copies of himself.
I don't think he's dead, though.
You know?
I don't. I mean, I do think he's dead.
You think he's dead, and you think Gamora's dead, but they obviously... I mean, if they reverse the snap, it's not going to bring those two back.
Correct.
Will it?
If that's all they do, yeah.
So, right. We got to figure out. But I think Loki, he's been such a player, you know, throughout the MCU so far with the Avengers. I think he's got a little trick up his sleeve possibly we're going to see out of him.
So and are you adhering Gamora, to the Loki theory that Jamie mentioned where this new Avengers movie will be like Loki 6, the movie?
Yeah, yeah, basically. Yeah, he's one of my favorites, and I think he's a fan favorite, and he's going to have to come back. He's got to.
Yeah.
And then Gamora, I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know how they're going to bring her back.
I'm wondering if Nebula will bring her back with the power of the Infinity Stones, like if Nebula gets a hold of the gauntlet. Because she's the one who took it from Thanos in the comics.
Right.
It's,
yeah.
It's possible that that could happen.
Then again, in the comics, Drax killed Thanos as well, so.
Yeah, a lot of things
who happen knows? In the comics. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. So any other predictions or anything you want to say?
No, that's about it.
Okay. Well, for me, I have a few predictions. I already talked about Doctor Strange. Now, if you remember from the one trailer, it showed like Hawkeye having like a family picnic and showing his daughter how to shoot an arrow. And he's like happy and giving her a high five. And I'm like, oh, God, the tears. It's going to be a tear-jerking scene. So, but
yeah, and then he's all sad. And the next
scene. So what I'm saying is that part of the movie, if it's in the movie at all, by the way, because, you know, I'm not putting it past them to put crap in the trailers that is not going to be in the movie at all, because they did that for Infinity War. But if that's in the movie, I think it's either going to be the first scene to kind of reacquaint us with the loss of the snap, right?
Yeah, I think the movie's going to start with the snap.
Or...
from all the other, you know, points of view.
It could. Or that'll be like in like a flashback later when Natasha finally catches up with him and he talks about what happened or something.
Possibly, yeah.
Now, whether that's the first scene or not, whatever happens after that, at the beginning of the movie, it's going to be Tony and Nebula in space. And then the other part that's going to be right at the beginning is going to be the remaining Avengers at headquarters. Captain Marvel arrives as they're talking about the pager. And then, like, right after that, they're going to formulate a plan to go get Thanos, and they're going to go. It's at some point in there, I'm thinking Tony and Nebula might actually arrive back, right? And then I have a feeling that Tony is going to like go hang out with Pepper for a minute. He needs to eat. He's had enough.
Right.
He's just faced like the worst, most awful defeat and moments of his life. He's also probably not ready to talk to Steve again, right?
Right.
And then, because there's that shot in one of the trailers where they're in the Benatar, and it's like Rhodey, you know, War Machine, Captain America, Captain Marvel, Thor, Rocket. Who else is in there? Bruce, I think. Bruce Banner, and maybe somebody else. But, like, Tony's not in that spaceship with them. Plus, they can't be on that spaceship until Nebula and Tony bring it back to Earth for them to use.
Interesting, yeah.
So that's kind of how I'm predicting the beginning of the movie is going to go. Then they're going to go off and they're going to fight Thanos, like on his garden world where he's like retired as a farmer or whatever. They're going to get spanked and sent home, more or less, right? Then, you know, they might even have another fight here's what I think. So they're going to have that first battle against Thanos. They're going to be sent home. It's not going to work. It's going to be very demoralizing. They're going to come back. They're going to think about what they can do. They're going to maybe come up with another plan. And that's when they're either going to have another fight with Thanos or, and this is, I think, more likely, they're going to lose hope They're not going to know what to do. They just tried everything they could possibly think of. They had Captain Marvel, who's really a heavy hitter, right?
Right.
Alongside Thor, alongside Nebula and Captain America and Rocket and, like, whoever else they have. And I'm not quite sure that Hulk is going to want to come back yet either.
Yeah.
But they're going to try and fail. They're going to be demoralized. And then Thor is going to be like, well, I don't know what else we can try. I got to go take care of my people, my Asgardians, right? And him and Captain Marvel might go off to do that. And then that's when we're going to get the time jump.
Hmm.
And that's when we're going to see Captain America go into the support groups, right?
Right.
And there's that conversation from one of the trailers where Cap is sitting in there with Natasha. And he's like, we keep telling people to move on. And some do, but not us. Never us.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think it's going to proceed that way. We're going to have this time jump. And then Cap and Nat are going to be sitting around at Avengers HQ, like, twiddling their thumbs, wishing they could do something and being morose, right, or whatever. And that's when Ant-Man's going to knock on the door and be like, hey, guys, remember me? and that'll be huge. That'll be, like, a big moment for them. Like, wait, where did he come from? Everything's possible now. What's going on? And he'll explain that he was in the quantum realm and, oh, he had to go through a time vortex with time travel. And they'll be like, what? Time travel? You could do that? And he'll be like, oh, by the way, I have this van that has a quantum, right, tunnel in it.
So basically Ant-Man and possibly Doctor Strange are the two that might be the guys that really change the story. You know,
I think they're going to make the new plan possible. I think more than anybody, it'll be Ant-Man to make it possible.
Right.
But I think that it'll be down to, like, what his technology and Captain Marvel make possible, combined with what, like, Tony and Banner are able to do with the Pym Tech.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be possible without Tony to use his genius to, like, develop the Pym Tech further and create those, like, Avengers quantum suits and, like, figure out whatever the plan is that is going to be figured out. Like, I think that's all Tony, and that's the reason that Doctor Strange had Thanos spare him.
Now, what if, I'm just throwing this one out here, what if they are able to reverse the snap before defeating Thanos?
Like, make it so it somehow never happened in the first place, or?
Well, I don't know if it would take them back to that moment right before the snap, or if it would just, all those people would dust in. I wonder if they could reverse the snap and reassemble everyone.
I'm actually
maybe
thinking,
all go after Thanos.
I'm actually thinking that they have to restore at least all the rest of the Avengers before they finally, yeah, take down Thanos once and for all.
Right.
Because there were a couple actors mentioned that there was, like, a scene where, like, every single one of them is in the scene.
Right.
Now,
that's a whole new twist on the final
so
battle.
Either the last half or the last two-thirds of the movie is really tough to predict because we don't know exactly what their plan with the quantum tech is going to be. You know?
Right.
Are they going to go to parallel universes? Are they going to go back in time? Are they going to go back in time for a different reason? You know, what are they going to do? What other supporting characters are going to show up to help them? A lot of people were speculating that there's a character called Black Knight that might show up. Because in the comics, Black Knight helped the Avengers, like, navigate the quantum realm or something. And also, Marvel has recently reprinted a bunch of Black Knight comics that he was in with them.
Interesting.
And a lot of times they do that before a movie comes out to clue people into, like, stuff surrounding the events of the movie, right? Or that's
right,
you know, from the comics. So that's a possibility. That's a possibility. But the last prediction I have is the end of the movie, after they've won, is going to be Tony and Pepper's wedding. And everybody's going to be there. And I don't know if that's the scene where everybody's there that the actors were talking about. I tend to think that they were probably referring more to an action scene, which
right,
makes me think they're either taking down Thanos or some other villain. Which, by the way, a lot of people are theorizing there's going to be another big villain they're going to focus on in the movie. But I do not think that's true. because that makes no sense to me.
That's too much.
It's too much. They have to deal with Thanos. They have to find a way to get to reverse the snap. It's too much. You can't just bring in
another. This is the biggest villain so far out of 22 movies. It's not like, you know, they're going to be like, yay, we beat Thanos. And then someone else steps up and says, ha ha, I have arrived. That would just
ruin. Still have... I wouldn't be surprised if there was, like, a different character, like, a new character appeared to help them in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But not as, like, the main villain for them to overcome. I wouldn't be surprised if they managed to set things in motion to unsnap the snap, but that creates a different problem that they have to deal with. Like, oh, now we have to keep reality from collapsing.
Right. Right. And then with the Guardians of the Galaxy storylines... it looks like they're getting ready to, and have been hinting at unveiling Adam Warlock.
Yeah.
Who, in the comics, one of his, you know, main things was he started up the Infinity Guard or something like that, and he was in charge of making sure all of the Infinity Stones never fell into the wrong hands and got misused, so they've been putting towards that, and... He might be in Guardians of the Galaxy 3, so would maybe he come in? And that would be kind of like,
well,
him and Captain Marvel coming in at the same time is too much.
See, I think it would be too much because, you know, Adam Warlock is a space Jesus. He is right. So powerful. He's a very important character. Yes, he did have a lot to do with the Infinity Saga in the comics, but I do think it would be too much and too much of a Deus Ex Machina to bring him in. And they have said that he is not going to appear in this movie. Now, they have also been dirty liars in the past. Like when the Russo brothers said that the new Avengers movie was not going to be called Endgame, and then it was revealed that it was. So they can be dirty liars. But I just don't think it makes a whole lot of story sense to bring him in at this point.
The only way they would be like if they do get the Infinity Stones back... And they do unveil him, maybe they will start him as the guardian of the Infinity Stones moving on in the future.
If I had to guess about Adam Warlock, I would guess that as a result of the end of Avengers Endgame, the Soul Stone makes its way to him somehow, some way. Because he becomes, I think he has like the Soul Stone in his head in the comics, but he has it in the comics for some reason.
Right.
And so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, it's either the head or the chest.
And then, you know, he makes his appearance in, like, the next Guardians of the Galaxy movie or even, like, the next Captain Marvel movie or something like that.
Right.
But I don't think, if he is in Avengers Endgame, it'll be super small. It'll be, like, the mid-post-credit scene or something, you know.
Right.
I have no idea what the post-credit scenes are going to be for Avengers Endgame. I have a feeling that they will, there might be, like, one that's, just a little funny thing of the characters from Avengers Endgame doing something. But then there'll probably be another one that hints at what's to come.
Right.
That would be my guess.
What was the cat's name in Captain Marvel?
Goose. Named after Goose? Top Gun.
Top Gun, right. I wonder if Captain Marvel will bring Goose along with her. Maybe Goose can just devour... Something
wouldn't it be
important.
Great if Goose was in Avengers Endgame?
And he beats Thanos?
Yeah. Ow. It just swallows.
It's like they finally get the glove off of him or something. And gosh.
Wouldn't that be great if they do bring Goose and Goose like just swallows Thanos and suddenly they're all standing there like...
Then coughs up the Infinity Gauntlet. That's what I want to see. That's my prediction.
that's my go-to prediction. Yeah, that's what I want to see. Yeah. Okay. Well, do we have any parting comments before we wrap this up here?
I'm just getting stoked.
Yeah,
we got tickets on the day they came out 2 weeks ago, and we got 2 weeks to go, and it's very exciting.
I'm excited. I can't, you know, like I said before, there's a lot of things that I would really love to see happen, but I'm just excited to see whatever happens.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping the movie is good. I have every reason to have faith in the Russo brothers in Marvel at this point.
If it bombs, that'll be the worst thing. It will be suicides. It will be like 1929 all over again.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's not going to happen, though. I think that the Russo brothers have earned my faith. I mean, they earned my faith just from all those directed, all those Arrested Development episodes they directed back in the day.
Right.
And now they took those skills and they've made some of the best freaking Marvel movies. I mean, they made Captain America the Winter Soldier, which I just watched last night.
Yeah.
They made...
Have you been following the Russo brothers actually put out Endgame, mm-hmm. it's a hashtag Endgame Marathon or something where they put out the order of you should be watching each Marvel movie in sequence, one per day. In
chronological order. That's what I've been doing. So it started with Captain America, the First Avenger, and then Captain Marvel, and it's really? Still in the movie theater, so I did it in that order. I watched Captain America, the First Avenger, then Captain Marvel, then Iron Man 1, then Iron Man 2, then Incredible Hulk, then Thor, then Avengers, then Iron Man 3, then Captain America Winter Soldier, which is what I watched last night. And I have to tell you, watching it in that order has been really interesting, because that's obviously not the order they were released in.
Right.
But, like, especially seeing the Captain Marvel stuff back in the 90s with Nick Fury, it really makes you feel like that explains why he is the way he is to a large degree.
Right.
You know, he's so paranoid, but at the same time, you look back to what
he's got reason to be.
He's like, well, and he also doesn't trust anybody because anybody could be perhaps a
Skrull. Plus with all the, you know, people he's met and is in cahoots with, he's got some access to some pretty fantastic technology himself.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and he knows that there's stuff out there and aliens out there that could decide mm-hmm. to make Earth their battleground at any moment. So that all makes sense.
So what's on the docket for today's viewing?
Let me see if they've texted out yet. I don't want to make assumptions as to what they're putting in chronological order.
I think they put out a list, didn't they? There should be a list.
The list I did not see. Oh, they're saying Guardians of the Galaxy today.
Okay, yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy. If you guys haven't started, you still have time. You got 12 days to watch 22 movies. And if that's a hashtag, the Russo brothers tweeted hashtag Endgame Countdown.
Yeah, you can do hashtag Endgame Countdown or just go to the Russo brothers Twitter account, mm-hmm. which is at @Russo_brothers. So, all right. Anyway, I think we've gone on for long enough. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for this rendition of Mecha Dragon, where we have talked about Avengers Endgame theories. It's been a fun conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it has. And we will see everyone back again. Next time you're going to hear from us is after the unsnapping. What would you call that? The recent?
Let's just call it Endgame.
Let's call it Endgame by the Avengers.
Yeah, so we're going to see Avengers Endgame opening weekend. I'm seeing it Friday night. I think you're seeing it Saturday morning.
Saturday morning.
I'm actually seeing it again Saturday morning. But then on Sunday, we're going to record our reviews of Avengers Endgame. We're going to do a little non-spoiler review like we normally do, which, again, will probably be about 20 minutes long, and we may append some extra conversation onto there. But then we're also going to do our spoiler Avengers Endgame discussion, and I have a feeling that discussion and review is going to go on for a little bit longer than normal, considering this is a 3-hour and 2-minute movie.
Right.
And we're pretty excited about it. But yeah, that'll be it for today. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Yep, see you guys. And you can catch us on Twitter at Mechadragon Show. Hit us up, send us some messages. We look forward to hearing from you. Adios, Poindexters.
Signing out. Our music is Overworld by Kevin MacLeod from Incompetech.com, licensed under a Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0, creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0.